You know, for every preacher, just to have a place to serve is a great satisfaction.
Amen.
And men need some kind of challenge. Men need some kind of goal, or they wind up as wimps. You know, they just let somebody else run their life. But I tell you, the Lord's been gracious and good to me, and it's good to have something to do that you're able to do. You know, sometimes you got something to do, you're not able to do it. That's pretty frustrating. But Lord's been good to us, and we've been able to see a lot of scripture printed, and I got an idea to do an illustrated track along with the Gospel of John and put a study course in the back of it, salvation study course, Light from the Gospel of John, and we put that together, and a lot of people got excited about it, and we did 80,000 copies of that just recently, and finished those up, and they'll be shipped to Romania first week in May. And then we're working on another project, 50,000 John and Romans that we're sending to West Africa, in particularly in Ghana. So the Lord's been good, and seen folks saved and been able to get out the Word of God. I want you to turn with me tonight to a verse of Scripture that you've heard many times, and I hope this will be a blessing to you. Recently, I heard somebody make a statement, and from that statement, I began to think about some things and put together some of these thoughts, and I hope they'll be a blessing to you like they have been to me. In James chapter 4, beginning there with verse 13, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Here James uses an illustration about someone who might say, well, I'm going to this certain place and I'm gonna continue there a year, which is really, really presumptuous. But anyway, he says, I'm going to continue there a year, and I'm going to buy, and I'm going to sell, and I'm going to get gain. I'm going to wind up the winner. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to have success. And then he comes with a question, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." And I heard someone say, and you probably heard the statement many times, what a difference a day makes. What a difference a day makes. And sometimes it's really climactic. It's really sometimes traumatic. You can be healthy as a mule one day, and the next day be smitten with a heart attack, or the next day be paralyzed from your neck down. Here's this guy, Christopher Reeve, who made all of the Superman movies and just a real specimen of health. And one day, man, I mean, he's great. And one day he's Superman. And the next day he's paralyzed for the rest of his life. Wheel him around in a wheelchair. What a difference a day makes. You know not what shall be on the morrow. Well, when I thought about that, I began to think about some Bible characters. And I thought about Noah. And here's a man that for 120 years at least suffered all this ridicule and all this mockery. And with the little help that he had, I don't know how long it took him to build this ark, but it's quite a masterpiece. It's quite an architectural feat. Especially he's building this thing on dry land where there's nowhere for it to float. And you talk about a crazy old fool. I mean, you can imagine what the people thought. And here's this old man, and he really wasn't all that young when he started on this venture. Here's this old man with his three sons, and he's out here every day driving another peg, drilling another hole, fitting another piece of lumber in, and he builds all these compartments. And somebody said, well, where in the world, I mean, how could they put two of every kind on a boat this size of everything that there is? And one guy said, well, you can park a lot of fleas and a lot of flies on an elephant's back. But here's this guy, he goes on with this venture. And I'm sure they'd had mental institutions in his day like they've got in ours. I mean, somebody would have had this old man locked up. And one day, the rain began to fall. After 120 years, what a difference a day makes. Just from one day to the next, everything has changed. I mean, there's a complete new perspective on life. There's a totally different attitude toward this man. There's a totally different climate. There's something they've never seen before. There's rain. There's something they never expected before. Judgment. And floods. Tell you what a difference a day makes. And I thought not only of Noah, but I thought of Joseph. Here's a man that was treated badly by his brothers and taken off and sold to these people that took him down to Egypt. Winds up in slavery. And then, little by little, he begins to rise to the top. And he gains favor with Pharaoh. And he's moving out of his meager existence until the day that Pharaoh's wife sets her eye on him. And he's really beginning to get somewhere in life. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's in the dungeon. He's going to be beheaded. He's lying there with these others. What a difference a day makes. And here he is rotting in this dungeon. But then one day, Pharaoh has a dream. Boy, what a difference a day makes. What a difference a dream makes. And he has this dream, and all these people are called in to interpret this dream, and no one can do it but Joseph. And after this, he's placed in this position, and he becomes second in command to Pharaoh himself. What a difference a day makes. I mean, one day, here's the man in a dungeon. He couldn't be any more despised by Pharaoh than he was. I mean, he's accused of trying to assault his wife. I mean, how much more could you despise a man? And the next day, he sets him at his right hand. What a difference a day makes. Then I thought about Peter. James is taken. Herod kills him with a sword, pleased the people, and so he decided to take Peter too, put him in the dungeon, ready to kill him the next day. Everybody was thrilled about it. These were dark days for the church. And here are the believers in this room praying. And I'm sure they were praying for Peter, but they were probably praying for their own welfare as well. God, don't let us join James and Peter. And here he is, bound and no way out. And these doors open. And the next day, he's free. What a difference a day makes. I thought about Peter, and on November the 19th in 1954, I was laying in a jail cell in Houston, Texas, facing 15 years to life on an armed robbery. Lost, wicked, undone, going to hell. Really didn't know a whole lot about it and didn't care a whole lot about it. But I knew I was looking at least, you know, 15 years on an armed robbery, and I wouldn't plead guilty and save court costs, but I had no money to hire a lawyer, and they were going to have to give me one and all that kind of stuff, and they were mad at me anyway. And they were going to try me for the armed robbery separately as an habitual criminal. And I started counting up, and I said, man, I'm looking at 17 years for life and 15 years on the armed robbery, and they're going to run them consecutively, one after the other, and I'm looking at 32 years, and I'm telling you what, I was really, really down. You talk about a discouraged young man, and I thought my whole life was ruined, and God began to deal with me. And I'd heard this preacher preach the gospel, and I'd heard what he said. He said something about being saved, which I didn't understand a whole lot about. But I got under conviction because I knew I was going to jail, but I got under conviction because I thought, well, I got 32 years, man, I'm going to spend the rest of my life in jail. And all of a sudden I began to think about, what about eternity? Where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? Then I really got discouraged. And I thought, man, I'm going to hell. And I thought, well, how can I get out of this? And I said, well, that preacher said something about being saved. And I just got down on my knees and I said, God, I don't know how to be saved. What do you do? And I remembered one time I went to Sunday school, well, a vacation Bible school, actually, when I was about 8 years old. And I remembered this teacher. I could just see her. She was standing there with a piece of cardboard and a heart drawn on the cardboard. And she was teaching us a memory verse, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. And she said, she cut a little door out of this piece of cardboard. And she said, see, there's no latch on the outside. The latch is on the inside. And if you want Jesus to come into your life, you have to open the door. And he'll come in. And that's all I could remember. And I said, God, I said, if that's how you get saved, that's what I want to do. And to my great amazement, I mean, I had no idea immediately. And I don't go a whole lot on feeling, but immediately, you know, I felt different. And I thought, this is weird, you know, and I had this sensation that somehow or other I was right with God. And I began to argue with myself, and I said, no, man, this ain't right, you know. And you can't be saved. I mean, what is this, you know? And yet somehow God gave me assurance that I was saved. Amen. And I'm sitting here wondering, what am I going to do down there in prison? And, you know, I'm going to get down there and I'm going to see James Greer. And James has already signed this confession that he drove this car in this armed robbery. And I'm going to face him. This is going to be bad trouble, you know. And I'm supposed to be saved. And how am I going to serve God? And I'm wondering about all these things. And the jailer came and called my name and took me downstairs, and I thought they was transferring me to the county jail to wait for the trial. Had no money to make bail, hire a lawyer, and took me downstairs, and I thought, well, why are they doing this in the middle of the night? And here we are about 11:30 that night, and took me downstairs and took this envelope with all my belongings and gave it to me and opened the door and said, get yourself out of here and don't come back. Boy, what a difference a day makes. Next morning, I went home to my mother's house. Next morning, I woke up and I went in the bathroom to shave, and I remembered that I'd hidden a capsule of heroin in the medicine cabinet, and I got it down, got the spoon and eyedropper and all this stuff, and I'm cooking it up, and I heard this voice, and the voice said, you don't need that anymore. And I looked around, and I couldn't see anybody. It's a little bitty bathroom. And so I just kept cooking it up, and I heard this voice, you don't need that anymore. And I'd never heard a voice like that in my life. And you know what I thought? I thought, God is in this bathroom. And I'm telling you what, it scared the daylights out of me. I mean, I took that stuff and flushed it down the commode, and I walked out of the bathroom, and a telephone rang, and Edward Butler was on the phone. He just lived down the street about four houses. And he said, "Where you been, man?" I said, "I've been in jail. I've been in there about 3 days." And he said, "Well, you know where I can score?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I scored last night." I said, "I got the best stuff I ever got in my life. I don't think I'm ever going to come down." And he said, "Well, where'd you get it?" And I said, "From Jesus." And he said, "Well, where's that Mexican live?" I said, "Man, I am not talking about some Mexican named Jesus, you know." I said, "I'm talking about Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Click. Well, I mean, hung up the telephone. Well, my mama's listening to all this conversation. And, man, what a difference a day makes. She said, you better go down here and talk to, Brother Harrison, this pastor. He just lives right down the street, another four or five houses. And so I went down there and talked to him, and I said, "Can you explain to me what happened?" And he turned to 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new." What a difference a day makes. I mean, Friday night, man, I'm facing 15 years to life. I've got a hopeless situation, and Saturday morning, I'm free and saved. And I said, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" He said, "Well, when we go to church Sunday morning and I give the invitation, you got to come forward and tell all these people how you got saved." And I said, you know those people?" He said, "Sure." He said, "I'm their pastor." I said, "How long you been here?" He said, "I've been here about 6 months." I said, "You don't know those people." I said, "Those people in that church, I've lived in this community nearly all my life." I said, I've poisoned their dogs and stole their clothes off of their clothesline, sold them down to the Salvation Army. I said, I burglarized their house, stole their guns and sold them. I said, "Man, I've done it." I said, "All these people know me. You want me to go up there?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "That's what you got to do." I said, "No, I'm not going to do that." And he had the gall to turn over to Matthew chapter 10 and show me a verse. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, and whosoever therefore shall deny me before..." I said, "Oh, man, I mean, you know, why you got to pull this stuff, you know?" Sunday morning comes around, you know, and I went through the program and went forward, you know, and I'm down there scared. I don't know what's going to happen. And all these people are sitting there. And then somebody said, "Amen." I mean, what a difference a day makes. And I tell you, God began to really do... I mean, you can have one day that's an absolutely hopeless, totally hopeless situation. And the next day, I mean, the brightest future that anybody could ever dream of. I mean, one day you're going to hell, man. The next day you're redeemed and changed. I mean, one day you're a drug addict. One day, I mean, you're needing a fix. And the next day you're fixed forever. Like David, "My heart is fixed." I mean, one day it's broken, next day it's fixed. What a difference a day makes. Boy, I tell you, I know when Peter walked back there to that door and they let him in, and I don't know if they prayed all night or what, but probably went to sleep and he woke up the next morning free. What a difference a day makes. Think about Moses. Here's all these little babies that are slain. And his mother makes this little basket, floats him out the Nile River with their crocodiles and everything else. And here's this little baby floating in this basket. Helpless, hopeless, but the king's daughter decides to go to the river. And this guy winds up second to Pharaoh. I mean, what a difference a day makes. And not only that, but he gets to go back to his mother and be nursed by his own mother. I mean, what a difference a day makes. And then I thought about Daniel. You know, I've heard all the stories and probably told some of them and preached some of them myself about what Daniel did in the lion's den and how they got lockjaw and how they were stymied by the sight of the angels that were sitting beside him. And I don't know if any of that happened. I have no idea. Maybe Daniel was sitting over there in the corner shaking like a leaf. Maybe the man was scared out of his wits. And you know, maybe the lions were, maybe they were growling and clawing and you know, there's some kind of invisible shield. Maybe they'd charge and boom, they just hit something invisible and fall. You know, I don't know what happened. But one day it's dark and the next day the den was opened.
Amen.
What a difference a day makes. But you know, I think of one more thing, and you can all relate to this. Here we are living in a day of sodomites, reprobates, politicians that are most wicked people that ever walked on the face of the earth. I remember watching C-SPAN one day and they were talking about this Clinton Lewinsky thing, and a lady called and she said, thanks to the President of the United States, that my 8-year-old daughter now understands what fellatio means. Sodomizing. Now my daughter understands what it means for a woman to sodomize a man. Isn't that great? This is where we're living. We're living in a day when this fellow Daschle has got a bill before the Senate now that will condemn every Christian with a hate crime who mentions anything out of Romans chapter 1 about the sodomites. I mean, we're living in dark days. And I appreciate President Bush. But he's not our Savior. He's not going to change the plan of God. He's not going to reverse the last days. And just remember that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, and he gives two different generations, 400 years apart, these two men. Noah and Lot, 400 years apart. And Jesus said, when you see these two generations parallel, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And here we are, man. We're eating, we're drinking, we're marrying, we're giving in marriage. Everything's going fine. And then the days of Lot. I mean, we're here. All the sodomites have come out of their closet now. Until the day. That Noah entered into the ark and the floods came. And we're living in these dark days.
Amen.
It's wicked. But then there'll be a day when the trumpets sound.
Amen.
And the heavens are open. And it's going to be different then. And you know what we're going to say? What a difference a day makes. What a difference a day makes.